Hello and welcome to Inside Education. Our website is insideed.com. I'm Sean Delaney and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. This week I bring you the first of a two-part interview with Dr. Fionnuala Waldron, who is Dean of Education at St. Patrick's College Drumcondra. The interview is to mark the publication of a new book, Reimagining Initial Teacher Education, Perspectives on Transformation, which was published recently by the Liffey Press. Dr. Fionnuala Waldron is Dean of Education and Chair of the Centre for Human Rights and Citizenship Education in St. Patrick's College. Prior to joining the staff in St. Patrick's College, Dr. Waldron worked for several years as a primary teacher. She teaches on a range of programmes at undergraduate and postgraduate levels, and her areas of specialism include history education, human rights and citizenship education, and teacher education. On next week's programme, Fionnuala will speak to me about the teaching of history, but this week we focus on the book, teacher education, and the integration of subjects across the curriculum. I first asked Fionnuala to tell me how the book she co-edited, Reimagining Initial Teacher Education, came about.
Over the past 2 years, or 2 or 3 years, there's been significant changes in teacher education. First of all, I suppose our programmes were lengthened to 4 years, our initial teacher education programmes for undergraduates. But also we've had the Teaching Council bringing out new criteria and guidelines for teacher education. And as a result of that, all of the teacher education providers have been engaged in redesigning their courses and creating new courses, new programmes and so forth. So when we started into that process now, which is, I suppose, 2.5 years ago at this stage, we decided that it might be a good idea to bring the collective wisdom of all of teacher education on the island, I suppose, together just for a conversation. So we planned a conference and invited all of our colleagues in the universities and colleges to participate in it. And it was very successful in the sense that it generated a lot of dialogue, a lot of sharing of ideas and so forth. So the book arises directly out of that conference. That conference was held in the summer of 2011. So all of the chapters in the book were in the conference, either as keynote addresses or as other presentations of research and so forth. So that's where it came from. The book, as you said, I'm a co-editor. My fellow editors are John Smith, Maeve Fitzpatrick and Therese Dooley, all of whom work in St. Patrick's College.
What did the work of editing the book involve?
First of all, we asked everybody who contributed to the conference if they would like to submit for the book. So we got a high level of interest in that. And of course, when you do that, then it's always the case that you don't have enough space to include everybody. So it was a case of being, you know, I suppose, very thorough in how we were thinking about what the shape of the book would be, what the balance of the book would be, what we were trying to achieve. And what we were trying to achieve was to capture a snapshot of the conference, to capture the different themes that emerged in the conference, the different voices that emerged, and to be as representative as possible of that. So, you know, we had to choose our chapters to try and represent that then. So then, having done that, then it was really a process of dialogue and negotiation with the authors over a period of time. And everybody was just wonderfully supportive and gave a lot of time to it. Editing a book, as you probably know, Sean, is I don't know if it's a labour of love or what it is, but it kind of takes over your life while it's going on. What was really for me a wonderful experience was reading each of the chapters deeply, because you have to do that to write an introduction. And when you do that, and you can see not only the way they connect with each other in their sections, but the kind of overarching themes that cross over, you know, over and back throughout the book and so on. In that sense, you get a great sense of the emerging, and I say emerging because we really are only at the start of this, the emerging area of research and teacher education in an Irish context, because so often we have to go internationally for our research. Now, over the past number of years, it's been a growing body of research, so obviously this is part of a longer tradition in it. But nonetheless, I do think we are at the start of it rather than, you know, we haven't advanced a long way along the road in terms of research into teacher education. So it was good to be able to capture that moment.
Who is the book for, Fionnuala?
I suppose primarily it is for people engaged in teacher education, not necessarily as teacher educators, but people who maybe are engaged in the wider policy creation of teacher education, people who are involved with the teaching council that has such a significant role. So teachers who are themselves involved in that kind of work. It is primarily about initial teacher education, although it does have some reference to teacher education in general, so reference to continuing professional development. So teacher educators primarily, but I do think that any teacher that's interested in teacher education would find something of interest here. And I think then, because of the range of issues that are covered, people that are interested in other questions, like, for example, questions around religion and ethos, there's a particular chapter that looks at that. So that might appeal to a broader audience that are interested in those questions. People that are interested in particular areas like the teaching of mathematics, there's a chapter on that. Dolores Corcoran writes a very fine chapter on that. And the chapter on ethics and religion written by Joan Zerwin, as I said. So I think there are specific ones that will appeal to specific audiences, but in general, it would be pitched for people involved in teacher education, either as teacher educators or else in the policy aspect of it.
Why was there a need at this time to reimagine initial teacher education?
Well, the changes that had been on foot in the policy space in terms of the Teaching Council and the DES. First of all, I suppose the announcement by the DES in their literacy and numeracy framework that they were going to extend the BEd to 4 years, and that they were requiring, you know, a greater emphasis on various aspects of the BEd and so forth. And then rising from that, we had the new criterion guidelines from the Teaching Council, which were in many ways making, I suppose, a wide range of demands on teacher education in relation to reimagining our practice. So the idea that we would have extended school placement, for example, bringing in new mandatory elements into the programmes, the emphasis on reflective practice and so on. It's not that we weren't doing those things, but this was an opportunity, I suppose, as well as a challenge presented to us by these guidelines. So it wasn't a case of we're moving, in our case, from a 3-year degree to a 4-year degree that you just simply add on a year. It was really a case of taking the project of initial teacher education and reimagining it as a holistic, integrated, coherent enterprise. So it was in that light of kind of challenging ourselves, trying to think about what we were doing in a new space. And also, I think there had been quite a significant amount of research going on in Ireland around teacher education. So this was an opportunity to ensure that our practice as teacher educators respond to that research, embody that research, that we were actually bringing our research into our practice in a more planned way, I suppose, than might have been the case otherwise, where you were simply, you know, working within an existing programme and doing what you could. So it was a good opportunity to do that.
In the opening chapter of the book, Fionnuala, you mentioned the importance of teaching being informed by a strong sense of purpose. Now, in the past, such a purpose might have been to maybe promote nationalism, the Irish language or religion. What sense of purpose might teachers find today that would inform their teaching?
Well, I think that essentially, for me, education is about education for living in democratic societies. So for me, the underlying purpose of education is around how do you live with everybody else in a way that is democratic? And how do you run your life and your work and your society and your relationships in democratic ways? So for me, the underpinning purpose of education is around democracy. And then if you unpick that a little, you're going to find that that is informed by other purposes around, for example, equality and social justice. So that would be the kind of underpinning values that I'd be working from.
And would you see the classroom as being a democratic place?
I see the classroom as potentially a democratic place. I don't think it has always been a democratic space, but I think increasingly it is. And I think in a primary context, particularly since the advent of the most recent primary curriculum, the 1999 curriculum, I think an awful lot of the pedagogy, for example, that is endorsed by that curriculum is inherently democratic. It's around collaborative learning spaces, cooperative learning techniques. It's around enabling children to take part in decision making in the classroom. So it supports a more democratic approach to teaching. And I think if you look at the emerging practices in schools, that is extended in a holistic way across the school. So you get increasingly schools that have school councils or other structures where children can participate in decision making. Schools that involve parents more closely in the work of the school. Schools that have policies that are around, for example, rights-based approaches to education and so on. So I think that increasingly we're seeing schools and classrooms as democratic spaces. And again, you know, in if you look at somebody like John Dewey, who as a philosopher has had a huge influence on what we do in education and an ongoing influence, and particularly in the primary space, the idea that the only way really to teach democracy is to live democracy. You know, so if you want to, the idea that the old idea, I suppose, that school prepared children for future citizenship has been replaced by the idea that children are current citizens and current citizens of a democracy. So as far as is possible, schools then need to inhabit that space in a democratic way.
Dublin Radio at its best, 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
How is the way that teachers are prepared today different to how you were prepared to teach?
I did my teacher education in Carysfort at a time when it was a 2-year teacher education diploma. And I think it was very much the theory to practice model, you know, that you sat in lectures and you heard about things and then you did your teaching practice. And then you went out and you taught. And really, I have to say that most of my learning began when I began as a practicing teacher, as opposed to teacher education. And I didn't feel very well prepared. And it took me about 10 years before I felt I knew anything about what I was doing. I think there is inevitably with newly graduated teachers, there is inevitably that moment when you feel, oh my gosh, here I am, it's for real, do I know what I'm doing? Or, you know, but I do think that we prepare our young teachers far, far better than was the case in the past. And I do think they are beginning with a much better understanding of children, of how children learn, of more, you know, of how to engage children in learning and so on. I think it's a million miles away from what I experienced. Now, what I experienced was standard for the time. And I'm sure for the time, it also had its strengths. But you know, it was way too short for such a complex activity. And, you know, it hadn't yet started to grapple, I think. You know, teacher education is an area that was really, really strongly developed in the past 3 decades. So I think I my experience was prior to that. I did have, however, the opportunity in the 1980s to come back to St. Patrick's College and do the in-service B.Ed. And that was a revelation to me. You know, that was a 2-year programme which allowed us to graduate with a B.Ed. And I was teaching at the time, so I did it on a part-time basis. And I think that was hugely influenced me in my teaching at the time, but also subsequently in my development. because it introduced me to ideas that some of them I had met as I had gone along through practice, but others I hadn't, new ideas, new ways of thinking about things, and also the idea of having having the opportunity to focus on something that I was doing every day, but focus on it in a different way and to discuss it and to tease out things and so on. And to re-engage with things like philosophy and psychology and so forth. It was a very exciting time for me, I have to say. And, you know, I think it changed my views about education and about teaching at the time.
As part of your work as head of department and dean of education in St. Patrick's College, you've been involved in reconfiguring the degree programme here in the college. How would you characterise the new programme that you now offer on the Bachelor of Education?
Well, I suppose what we've tried to do in the new programme is embody the principles, both the principles that are articulated in the Teaching Council criteria and guidelines for teacher education that they brought out in 2011, and what we understand to be the really strong ideas emerging around good teacher education, both nationally and internationally. So drawing on our own research of what we have found out ourselves, our colleagues in other colleges in Ireland, and on the international research into good teacher education. So looking, for example, we were very, keen that what we would construct would have a strong framework to it. So looking at, and that would also, we'll say, in the same way as the primary curriculum does, spiral ideas. So you might meet an idea in first year and then re-meet it again more deeply in each subsequent year as you go through, so that by the time you reach your fourth year, you have a really deep understanding of that idea and how it informs everything that you do. So I suppose an example of this that is probably one would be common to teacher education programmes would be the idea of reflection and inquiry. So looking at how you can lay the groundwork for that in first year, how you can build on that in second year, and then in third year and fourth year, how students can start to take ownership of that and really embed it in what they do and in their practice and so on. So it was about taking those kinds of ideas. I suppose we were also keen to meet both our own criticisms of what we had been doing and also criticisms that had been voiced externally about you're not doing enough of this and you're doing too much of that and all of this kind of thing. So there was a certain amount of rebalancing that went on. So looking at, for example, key national priority areas like literacy, maths education, and looking to see if we could do that give it more time, but also look at how we could build a stronger kind of a core around that. Looking at ways, I mean, one of my own kind of bugbears in terms of education is the way in which I think the idea of integration has never really been strongly kind of modelled or interrogated, and it can end up, I mean, some people do it brilliantly, but a lot of the time it can end up quite superficial. So looking to see if there were ways in which we could engage with the idea of integration across the primary curriculum.
And could you just define integration?
What I'm talking about, I suppose, here mainly is in the primary curriculum, the integration of subjects. So the idea that instead of teaching individual subjects such as history and geography and science and mathematics and so on, that, yes, of course, you do an element of that, but also that you promote integration across subjects so that you might integrate... and this is common practice that you would integrate areas like art and history and so forth. Now, sometimes that is done very well. Other times it's done quite superficially. So my own area of history, for example, I think suffers quite a lot through integration. So, you know, you integrate history into another subject, and sometimes history just simply becomes a story, or it becomes the kind of the let's research the biographies of the people who made this discovery in science and so forth. So I think integration, if integration is to lead to new learning, that it has to help children help children's understanding in all of the areas that are being integrated. So if you're integrating history into science or geography into art, what emerges has to bring children's thinking forward in art and in geography, not just one or the other, you know. So it's trying to build a model of integration that is deeper and less superficial, because research would into integrated curricula would say that that superficiality is one of the dangers of integrated curricula, that it can lead to kind of superficial learning as opposed to deep learning.
And teachers themselves need to know quite a lot to be able to make those deep connections.
They do. They need to have a good understanding. I mean, another area that I think suffers through bad integration is drama, you know, and that again, you know, let's say integrating history and drama, you can end up with something that is neither good history nor good drama, you know. So I think we need to be careful in how we engage with integration in a teacher education space. I think integration, teaching is complex, integration is even more complex, and it is actually easier to teach subjects individually in their boxes than it is to integrate subjects in a really meaningful way.
Are there any examples that come to mind of where you've seen subjects integrated in a really meaningful way?
I have seen some very good examples of history and drama, where the drama that was being created allowed the children to, it's not about kind of entering into the shoes of another person, but it's allowing them to maybe engage with the idea of different worldviews. So with the idea that in this space, people think differently to how we think in our space when we're not in the drama. So when you enter into this space, this that is created in the drama, that, you know, you are taking on a different worldview. There are different contexts. There are different constraints. You know, the choices that you make, you are not the same choices that you can make in your everyday life, because the context is different. The constraints is different, but how you think about it is different. You know, so you're not going to ever be able to step into another's shoes in any kind of a perfect way, because you can't take your own shoes off, for one thing, completely. So it's all a matter of negotiation. But I think you can create those spaces where children's understanding of the historical society or the group or the event or the person that they're exploring through drama can be a deep exploration. But what it requires is that the teacher not just understands drama, but that the teacher is really knowledgeable about the historical event that's being dramatized. So if you have, you know, Vikings with horned helmets and swords and, you know, something quite superficial around the Vikings, that's not going to bring forward their understanding of the Vikings. So if you're looking at the Vikings, you have to construct that Viking space, that society, with the kinds of choices that Vikings had, the kinds of views of the world that Vikings had, the kinds of relationships with each other that they might have had, and so on. So it's not an easy option. It's not a case of let's make a drama about, you know, it requires quite deep thinking and planning and resourcing. And it requires quite a deep knowledge of the area being integrated.
If there was one reason why people should go out and read this book, what would it be?
I think it captures a moment in time, which is good. It captures a lot of the kinds of discourse and discussions that are ongoing at the moment around teacher education. it identifies key policy issues, like there is a chapter that specifically addresses the Irish policy context by John Smith, which I think gives quite a good critical read of what's happening and what has been happening. But then there are other chapters, like Liz Dunphy's on early childhood education, that looks at one of those areas that is always, I think, a key priority in terms of education. So I think that it captures some of those key discussions that are ongoing around education, and for that reason it's a good book to read. It also brings some international voices to bear on some of those issues. So Marilyn Cochrane Smith's chapter, which is the first chapter in the book, is a kind of a masterly survey of policy and teacher education over time, set largely in the context of the US, but taking an international perspective as well. John Furlong's also his chapter is I think as well a very interesting one, which brings the UK context into it and talks really makes a very strong argument for the need for teacher education to be in a university context and for the university values around what he calls the contestation of knowledge, that idea that you don't just transmit knowledge from one generation to another, that knowledge should always be open to challenge and contestation and discussion and so on.
And the name of the book is Reimagining Initial Teacher Education, Perspectives on Transformation. It is edited by Fionnuala Waldron, John Smith, Maeve Fitzpatrick and Therese Dooley. It's published by the Liffey Press. Well, that's it for this week's Inside Education. You can listen to or download podcasts of previous Inside Education programmes on insideed.com or on iTunes. You can email me. My email address is insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to this week's guest, Dr. Fionnuala Waldron from St. Patrick's College. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.